For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here at the Kia Studios as I struggle to get through this open. It's me and it's Mike.
Yeah.
And we're holding it down.
Have you always been a germaphobe?
I'm actually wiping down my area, which is why I was fumbling around.
Yeah, she got the Lysol
to
wipes.
To say good morning to you.
Yeah,
I'm not a germaphobe. I wouldn't say that.
Are you serious?
I just think sometimes the people in this space are gross. And sometimes...
You wipe that counter out every day.
I do,
or not,
because when
like,
I came in here, I saw someone's
not,
greasy mitts all over the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to touch that. Okay. I don't want to put my hands down. I don't want any part of it.
Aren't you the one, though, that sometimes will put the trash can in the door so you don't have to use the fingerprint scanner?
I don't touch it. I kick it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you call me out? But it's not always me.
It's not?
No.
I thought
when
it was
I came
you.
In, no.
Oh.
See, trying to take me out. You see Day-Day in there?
Day-Day's like, nah, I don't touch that thing either.
I don't touch that.
Yeah.
No, see, yeah, I was just saying, it's not always her. I know who the other culprit is.
I'm not calling you out. I think it's understandable to a lot of people that don't want to touch a fingerprint scanner. I think a lot of people vibe with that. I don't think it's a call-out thing.
I don't like touching that. Yeah. I don't know why we don't have
But I would say that puts you in. I would say that puts you in the germaphobe conversation.
I feel like I travel too much to be considered a germaphobe.
Yeah.
The things I face on the road. The one guy next to me on the flight back this past week that kept scratching his arms and then scratching his head. And I kept thinking about his skin flakes probably flying in the air, and I'm probably
Holly, man, can't
in.
Even scratch.
No, it was like excessive.
Oh, well, like
yeah, like I was starting
like
when
Shepherd.
I got home, I didn't even my clothes came off at the threshold of the door because I was like, I don't know what this dude has.
He was like a German Shepherd with that hind leg
but
up on his head.
This is disgusting.
Man, that ain't good.
In other news, skin flakes is such a cringy term. The way you just said it made my skin crawl a little bit.
Yeah, I never even considered that like scratching in public to be a harmful thing until she just said skin flakes. Now I'm like, man, I might have been letting him dig.
Excessive scratching.
Yeah. No, I know, but you just saying like you saying skin flakes like that, it just made me.
All right, I don't want to ruin because you stay in hotels a lot. I don't want to ruin anything for you.
It's disgusting. I know.
But I'm
well aware.
It wasn't a TikTok like Dylan
nope,
was talking
about.
No, if you're
going to say if you're talking about anything living or whatever, I don't want to go down that path.
Anything living.
Like I don't know where you're going with hotel talk, but I don't want any part.
Okay,
of it.
Well, I'm just saying. What's like? Do you prep like when you walk in a hotel room?
I have Clorox wipes.
Clorox
like,
wipes.
I wipe the counter, the light switches, the desk, the toilet. Like
every time.
The toilet seat, pretty much every time.
Okay, you have not said the one thing that I saw in this video that's supposed to be the most disgusting.
The bed is always the most disgusting.
Okay, no, that's still not it. You got one more guess.
Oh, wait.
You got one more guess.
So it's not
I don't want to ruin anything for you.
It's not the toilet?
Nope.
I don't know, tell me.
The remote control.
Oh, I don't turn on the TV.
The remote control, man.
I usually don't turn on the TV.
I saw somebody. There was somebody that took a. I don't know if it was Instagram. Probably Instagram. Somebody that took like straight up Ziploc bags and put the remote control in a Ziploc bag, and they're like, "It's the only way I'm touching it."
I wipe it down with a Clorox wipe too.
Yeah.
But I don't even like touch it. Like I grab the Clorox wipe with it to wipe it down.
Yeah. Well,
but I typically don't even turn on the TV in the hotel.
I would say that you don't think that makes you a germaphobe, just a little bit.
Wiping the people are gross.
I know.
I don't mind my own filth, but I don't want to share in anybody else's.
I would venture to say that 90% of travelers do not carry Clorox wipes with them.
No, I beg to differ.
Really?
Well, yeah, I think it's higher than a
10% rate.
I think it's higher than
10%. Wow.
Because I've been on planes where I've been next to someone that has literally wiped the entire seat down.
Yeah,
actually, when I got on the plane, headed. To my seat, I heard them talk about something going on in the back of the plane, and the flight attendant probably wasn't supposed to say this out loud, but I overheard it, and he said, yeah, someone threw up, but they were just cleaning it up back in like 38,
oh, great.
Like A or
That's
something.
That's always good.
So I was thinking, man, like, but that person's never going to know that someone I'm never going to know. So
I can't have it, man.
I'll say this. I don't think I've ever, maybe once that I can remember, but to y'all's point, I don't think I've ever seen anybody travel with Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
Like with my travel, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I keep them in a stasher bag, a silicone bag. Data, you travel with them?
Yeah, I have them in my backpack right,
right?
now.
You got kids. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm sure. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I've never traveled with my kids on an airplane. Not yet. So that's probably coming. And
but you should have them on the road. Think about going into, like, you guys got to stop at the public restroom or something. Not that you would wipe. I would never touch that
have
seat.
Those. Well, I mean, okay. See, that comes with the territory. You have baby wipes when you have to change diapers and all that stuff. But that's not Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
The problem is, like,
I'm a little bit weary
about Clorox wipes beforehand because, like, you know, it's, like, cleaning products and stuff. But nonetheless, I do have one question before we move on.
Yes.
Are you a remote start person? I don't know your parking situation at your house, but are you able to remote start your car?
No.
Or is it like already warm in the garage or something?
No.
No?
It's not warm, and
but
I do not have a remote start.
You're not in the vicinity to remote start
you
the
thing. You would think my car would have came with that, but it unfortunately
what?
Did not.
No, that's not true. It I guarantee your car has remote
start. Well, I also didn't stay for the tutorial when I bought that car. I was in a rush.
It's probably like...
I was like, I'll take it. I don't want to sit here and learn anything.
It's probably like 007 on N64 where you have to hit a button combination to get something cool to happen. It's like, you know, unlock, lock.
I'll Google it.
You know what I mean?
I will,
there's no way your car doesn't have a remote start, though. I promise you it
I will
does.
Google it during
no
the
way.
Break.
You can go through your owner's manual, Tiff.
I don't.
Yeah. Mm,
I don't know.
If
I think most cars
post-2014
have remote start, right? Most of them.
My car is a 2018.
Yeah, it's got to have a remote start. And it's not like a beater.
But I'm not really, I don't even think I'd be able to, I guess it's like an app, right? So if you do
well,
the
that's
app
what, that
thing,
was my
then...
next question, yes. And I will say this. I have a neighbor who I thought was upset with me because I wake up so early and I crank my car. Turns out he's very earth friendly. And
so he hates her truck.
Didn't like the fact that it was running in my driveway. But it took me like years to figure this out. Like one of the first things he says, we've lived there almost 6 years. He's like, man, your car running in your driveway. I'm like, oh man, was it near your bedroom window? I was like, my bad. My driveway is kind of on that side. I was like, man, I'm so sorry. And then it started hitting me down
the
road.
What did
like,
he say?
He just made mention of it.
But he didn't, when you said,
he didn't
oh,
say like, don't do
bedroom.
It. But he just was trying to be friendly.
But when you said it was by your bedroom window.
Yeah, I said, man, that's my bad. I'll come and point it the other direction. Like, I'll try to back it in so that when I crank it in the morning, like, the engine's on
but
the other side.
But he wasn't like, that's not the problem.
But he just kind of, like, moved on from it, you know? And then it hit me, like, a year or two later. Like, he has clovers in his front yard, not grass.
Oh, you want, okay, cool.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the new natural yard thing.
Right. And, you know, big as far as, you know, the garden stuff kind of goes like that. And then it hit me like he just doesn't like my car running that long while it's heating up. But in the wintertime, I'm going to get that thing heated up. You mentioned it was 36 degrees this morning.
Yeah, I got
you rolled in here layered up with about four layers. And what is that? Is that an LSU sweater? What do you got going
on? No.
What's going
on? No, it's Princeton.
Oh, but you can see where I got that from,
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. It is a Princeton sweatshirt because my colleague, I always like to say esteemed colleague, but you can say esteemed when it's Princeton.
I was going
to
say.
Ross Tucker, who I guess some of y'all folks out there may listen to. Yes.
Yeah.
Ross went to Princeton, and so I think it was our group's first college game together. He brought a box with him, and it had Princeton hats,
you're
sweatshirts.
Kidding me. I'm going to start doing that.
He brought us gear.
Hey,
I don't even, but it may have been from this. I don't think it was just like left, though. I mean, I don't even think Ross could fit what I'm, this is like it's large on me.
Yeah.
But it'd be too small for Ross. I don't think it was just like his, oh man, I can't get into this.
So they sent him like a swag bag.
They must have sent him something.
Yeah.
So, we reap the benefits.
It's funny because Bama does that to all their NFL players, send like a huge box of swag, hats, like, you know, all this other stuff. And people, you know, obviously when you're not, when you're no longer playing in the NFL and like things are not done for you and all that stuff, it's a big deal for like, you know, financially. But some of those things like that are the things I miss the most. Like the first time I had to go buy Powerade.
Oh, yeah.
I was hot. Like I was hot with it. I was like, why am I buying Powerade? I've gotten Powerade for free for like the last 10 years. And now I'm going to buy Powerade at a grocery store. It was a little bit humbling of an experience, to be quite honest with you.
I do miss getting stuff, but then at least just me having more stuff. So I don't like to accumulate things. Like a lot of times at sporting events, I know people are like, oh, what a bad problem to have. Wham, wham. Okay, whatever.
No,
well,
yeah,
that
I feel the same
way.
Thing about having to buy Gatorade. Yeah. So.
Right? But like you get these swag bags or you go to like a group meeting, you get a bag for the Super Bowl. like anyone that has played a sport, you probably can relate to it because you get t-shirts, your kids get t-shirts at probably every tournament, all that stuff. It just piles up and then you're left with a bunch of stuff. And so I decline things now.
Yeah. It's, I mean, once you do it enough, it probably makes sense. Although I did grab that Matt Ryan poster a couple weeks ago at the
Bins. What are you going to do with it?
You know what I mean? I'm going to put it on my kids' wall.
Oh. Yeah. All right, well, now you maybe sound like a jerk.
No.
I mean, what are you doing?
No, I mean, like, it's just the truth. Like, I also had the Arthur Blank Cup they had with all the free drinks and hot dog night. Yeah, I had to get one of those, too. Shout out to my man, Gordon.
You have families have miscellaneous cups in their home.
Oh, stadium cups is all, like, that's my cereal bowl. Stadium cups, that's my cereal bowl.
Do you have miscellaneous cups in your house? Anyone? I don't. My glasses are perfectly. No, I'm just kidding. My house is a crap show right now. But anyway, I probably could use some miscellaneous cups in my life. Hey, when we come back, Falcons, Seahawks, Coach Raheem Morris, what matchup is he excited to see? Find out next when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the Morning Shift, and I was just thinking, my Peloton that's supposed to change my life, it gets delivered today.
Really?
Yeah.
Today's the day.
Today's
are you excited?
I feel like I was just talking about it, and then I thought it was scheduled for next week, and surprise.
That's awesome. And I brought this up yesterday, and you'll feel what I'm talking about as soon as you get it under your feet tonight. And you've done one before.
Yeah, I've done that like at a hotel and
I'm just so curious, like, who your go-to guy will be. I just, like, there's, like, so many different flavors on there as far as
I already know Cody's the favorite right now. But I got to.
I think I used to use Cody every now and then. Is he the big Britney Spears fan?
Probably. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Big Britney Spears guy. And I can bump the Peloton to a little Britney. You know what I mean?
Of course, like.
Kendra was, she's, like, really in shape. And so you just, but she's, like, kind of like a drill sergeant compared to Cody.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She's, like, she's going to hold you to task and be like, yo, you need to get it going. I'm like, wow, dang, don't yell at me. Sheesh.
Maybe you need some intensity.
Yeah, I didn't hit 280 on accident. You know what I mean? Like, this took a while. You know what I mean? Wow. Don't break me down so fast.
Wow.
I'm a big Peloton fan. I don't do it as much as I used to. Because I used to do it at night and now I try to go to bed a little bit earlier and that's not a good excuse, but it is what it is. But my wife does it every single night and loves it.
If I'm going to pull this off in the mornings, this means I'm going to have to like shut it down at like I probably need to be asleep by 9.
Yeah. That's my goal every night. That's my goal every night, asleep by 9. The problem is like tonight, Thursday night football, probably
exactly.
Not
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Probably going to stay awake and watch that. The Braves aren't playing anymore, but I'd always have the Braves game on. I'd go lay in bed and I'd be like, man, I wonder if they can get out of this sixth inning jam. And then I'm watching it, and then I'm watching it, and then I'm boosted up. So, yeah, man, I don't know. But I'll be curious to see, like I said, who your instructor is, because I think everybody eventually latches on to one or two and kind of vibe with those kind of people. And it's usually about the music, but sometimes about the attitude as well. So we'll see.
We'll see. Just like we'll see what's going to happen this weekend with a full slate of games, of course, with the Atlanta Falcons. They're taking on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. And like we teased to you earlier, Coach Raheem Morris, lots of matchups in this one to be excited about. He's got his eyes on one particular one.
I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like that, AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it, and he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions, and you got to keep fighting. And the one thing we know about AJ, he's a fighter. He's going to go out there no matter what and keep going. And no better example than what he did last week, right? Standing in the fight, covering Deontay, and then at the end, boom, steps in front of the last minute and gets a pick.
Guess I should have told you who the matchup was against. Surprise, DK Metcalf. So.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question.
Coach Morris is talking about.
Right, I don't think there's any question. And he mentioned the fact that A.J. Terrell has a tough matchup. And look, there's times, obviously, he's going to man up. Falcons noted cover 3 team under Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake so far this year. I think they're playing that at about a 40% clip, which ranks about 6th or 7th in the league. I got to check back on the numbers. But top 10 in terms of the amount they play cover 3. And when you look at DK Metcalf and what he does, It's obvious that Geno Smith is looking for DK Metcalf in these situations, Tiff. He's got almost 60% of their yards through the air against cover three. They'll try to pick him apart, 25% of the targets. The good news is that when you look at last week and DK Metcalf, and you turn on the game, I swear I turn on the game and I'm watching Seattle and I'm watching the replay of it, and like every ball is thrown at DK Metcalf, like every single one of them. And so I'm like looking at it, watching, I'm like, have they thrown it to anybody else? And then at some point, like midway through the game, Geno Smith just kind of like that kind of tails off a little bit, starts throwing out of the backfield, starts throwing to a number of other players in the scheme, but only 3 of 11 on targets that come his way to DK Metcalf. And we all saw the shot where he puts on the headset and is talking to offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, and he's a lot of people lip readers out there. Can you please throw it past the sticks is what supposedly he was saying. So he was frustrated last week.
Well, I was looking at a Seattle Times article, and that's basically the headline of the article is the Seahawks need to get him to take care of the ball. They need to get him the ball, basically, too. That's what they were insinuating in it. He's a playmaker, and I know that over the last couple of years, you're kind of guaranteed to almost get like 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
With him a season, but
and there's no question too. I mean, Tiff, you've been around enough of these teams where you kind of can just like eyeball test some of the playmakers. You know what I mean? You're like first guy off the bus. That's definitely DK Metcalf.
Yeah, you know.
But he also has that top end speed that can kind of run away from you and make some plays. If you look closer at some of the words that came out of these pressers too, I've been watching them all week. Like Geno Smith's like, hey, DK didn't get his toes down on the one touchdown or the one would be touchdown. What did you think about that? Do you think he could have gotten his feet in the end zone? And Geno just kind of drops the, well, just check the film. You can go watch the film. It's like, wow, dude. Like, really? Like, he's got to make the circus catches or he's not getting signed off on by Geno Smith? I think Geno Smith's frustrated. I think DK's frustrated. I think the matchups you'll see in this will be quite interesting because the way this kind of breaks down, and obviously a very, very pass-happy team, but they'll also try to get the ball to the running back out of the backfield. I mentioned it, 14 carries for like 30 yards last week. Awful, awful ground game right now. But a number of people that have talked about the offensive line for Seattle, obviously a problem, but it's just not a commitment they try to make. It's like, hey, let's get it to DK. Let's get it to some other people, see if we can move on.
But do you think, like, and I kind of butchered the headline of the article, but it was saying they need him to take care of the ball. And he was talking about just like basically this year, he said, I've done a pretty good job, but when it comes to not giving the ball away, I've been at the scene of 3 turnovers this year. I'm like, does this warrant a headline? But I guess maybe it's uncharacteristic play for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's so much like, dysfunction around this because I don't think most of us think of DK Metcalf when we think of fumbles
and I don't think of DK
right.
Metcalf.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think of like disgruntled receiver. I don't think of problem child receiver or anything like that. But obviously, he's been very frustrated. And I don't think that's a good thing, and here's why. This team passes more than any other team in the league. I mean, this team is putting the ball up to bat a lot. And when you have Geno Smith and this, I don't want to call it air raid in the NFL, but, I mean, that's essentially what it is when you're only rushing for 30 yards on 14 carries. You would think receivers are excited about that. Like, you would think he's like, man, I'm going to get my opportunities. I got 11 targets in the game, right? And yet, it just doesn't seem like that's all kind of come together. You got Kenneth Walker, who actually has 8 catches out of the backfield, and you got DK Metcalf with 3 catches. And it just, the number's not lining up for whatever reason in terms of that passing attack. But I mentioned it. Cover 3, Raheem Morris will run it. He'll have his opportunities, and Geno Smith will be looking for him. And I know they're kind of dissecting the film to see where this pass defense can kind of be had.
Yeah, you're talking about the passing threat that they have. The Falcons obviously well aware of that. And corner Mike Hughes, he's still looking for this defense to play a complete game.
I think we're still trying to put a complete game together as a defense. And I think we're all trying to we're all gelling together pretty well as we learn each other and each other's strengths. And I think once, coaches put us all in the right positions to be successful, I think we'll be really dangerous. And it's crazy to say, and I know it might sound cliche, but I really truly believe once we get everything clicking, we'll be really dangerous.
Oh, I have a guess what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the pass rush.
Maybe that's. Yeah. You think that's where he's going with it?
I think it might be. And look, I don't think people realize, Tiff, how good the secondary has been, despite the fact that you are dead last in sack rate in the NFL. Let me say that again. You are dead last in sack rate in the NFL. And yet, when you look at passing yards allowed per play, I'm not going to look at it on the whole of the game because situations are different and everything else. You're like top five in terms of passing yards allowed per play. All right, so when you look at it from that angle, an extremely good job, and I love hearing from Mike Hughes. We've talked about it a number of times. He was just kind of like the other guy. AJ's getting his extension. Mike Hughes was new on the block last year. Jeff Okuda was kind of starting. Mike Hughes is playing like a nickel spot. They draft Clark Phillips. They have all these other pieces. You don't address that in the draft, and everybody's like, all right, when are they going to replace Mike Hughes? When is that going to happen? When do they find somebody else? And yet this dude and AJ and this entire secondary have done nothing but kind of step up to bat and make sure they carry the torch for this defense as the three defensive linemen you drafted and the Matthew Judon you trade for. As all that happens, you're still not getting much productivity out of those guys up front.
Well, they're going to need it, especially against Seattle. When you look at what went down at practice yesterday and on the injury report, look, you've got Troy Anderson, Lorenzo Carter, and Justin Simmons were not present on the field and were labeled as out on the team's injury report. So we can see how that affects the game. Mm. So they're still trying to put together a complete defensive performance.
Come on,
according
baby, let's
to Mike
go.
Hughes.
Let's
this
go.
Hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back here on the morning shift, the latest in college football headlines is on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, we'll get to some college football in a minute.
I can't get over the fact, Tiff. I can't get over the fact that, and speaking of college football, I'll get Rusty Manziel at 8 o'clock today.
That I wore a bubble coat to work today?
No, well, that too.
Justified.
Well, it's not really the coat. It's the fact that there's a hoodie on underneath it. I was like,
it's a thin
really
hoodie.
Impressive.
It's not like a...
Yeah,
it's pretty
a little
thin.
Athleisure hoodie, Princeton hoodie. I can't get over the fact that Rusty has a TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've never felt more dated. And Rusty's a little bit older than us, but not much. And, like, I'm just like, he's got a TikTok, man. Like, I don't know. Like, Rusty and Day-Day are about the same age, right? I'm not far off on that. Do you have a TikTok, Day-Day?
I do, but not
Whoa,
for my personal.
You have a TikTok?
Not for my personal, but for my Prep Sports Nation. Not for my personal.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what he uses it for, too, I'm assuming.
Yeah. But he does more videos of him, you know, like to Dylan's point. More or was it Tiffany? Who said it? Who brought it up?
Yeah, I was talking about
probably
it.
Me. Me.
He has more. He does have more content of him doing his interviews and things of that nature,
sure.
Talking about dogs and
he's
all.
Well, like and he has
a serious
a base
following.
That, yes, like yeah. That spans age groups, and so if you're appealing to probably the younger crowd, although my mother's on TikTok,
what?
I don't
what?
Have it.
Really?
Yes.
What
are
you serious?
Do?
Yes. They
like,
just,
I don't even
they
think
watch,
my dad knows what TikTok is.
Things.
I don't think my dad knows what TikTok is.
Look, I don't know. Like, they look at stories. They like the funny videos that are on there.
But that's what Instagram was for. I don't know, man. I'm just
like
feeling dated.
I'm with you, though, Mike. It's a little tough to start keeping
up. Yo, I got hurt last night, and we'll get into college football.
You can only keep up with Instagram. That's it.
I got stung last night. Went to my wife's work. She works at a high school. They did, like, a little trunk or treat thing throughout the school. You know, stop by classrooms, and they had, like, their honor society working it. And, like, one of them was playing tunes. Like, it was playing, like, I don't know, Casey and the Sunshine Band, something from the 70s, a little upbeat, a little, saxophone, things like that. And I kind of got a little shoulder bounce. My wife goes, don't do that. And the kid goes, no, that's okay. My dad does the same thing.
I was like, yo, kid,
hey, I ain't your dad's age.
Wow.
And I thought, I could possibly be. Kid's probably like 15. I was like, man, that's.
Could be.
He stung me. Anyways,
There is a huge matchup going down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this weekend when Georgia Tech welcomes Notre Dame to town. But there are now some health questions to be asked about Haynes King, Georgia Tech starting QB, and Coach Brent Key. Has been talking about how he's a tough kid, but unfortunately, we did see him leave the fourth quarter of their win against UNC with what appeared to be a right shoulder or some sort of arm injury.
Yeah, unspecified is what they're officially saying, and it just means like you just got the crap knocked out of you a few times, and like it just. we used to always laugh when I was playing the things would come out like instead of just saying basically it was a vet day, they had to have an injury, and it would just be like general body soreness. General body, so he's just old. But obviously, in Haynes King's, the way he looks, that's not the thing. But Brent Key's saying he's day to day. Here's why this even is a thing to me, Tiff. Because obviously, I follow Vegas a little bit. When this line first started out, it was like 7.5 or 8, And the further we've gotten into the week, you know how somebody, like, sometimes your antenna just goes, like, somebody knows something. All of a sudden, this is an 11. They're 11.5-point underdogs in this one. And obviously, Notre Dame has some holes as well. They've leaned on their defense. Their defense has a number of injuries. Riley Leonard has had his ups and downs. They're trying to get things going offensively. But I'm like, 11.5 to me just screams 11.5 that Haynes King's not playing. But I hope he does, and I hope he feels a lot better, and I hope
they're going to need him.
Yeah, they're going to need him. And this is one of those midday kind of primetime slots on ESPN where everybody's kind of like, everybody's kind of looking at Notre Dame to figure out what they are. And I think Bama's kind of in this seat, too, where they've had big wins and then also massive letdown losses. And it's like, dude, we don't even know which brand of team you are. But right now, we're hoping Georgia Tech can kind of correct that. I'll be rooting for that. You know I'm a Brent Key
fan.
Well,
we talked about, just for him, for Key, just how much of a signature victory this could be, as this program has already turned around when he got here.
Yeah, and you mentioned it during your victory in Which One Wednesday yesterday, your massive defeat over Squidbilly.
It was massive defeat.
Like,
it was.
I mean, he was – honestly, I think you broke him at some point. Like, you did. Like, he was kind of in his feelings.
He's still
recovering.
That's
the
word on the street.
Yeah, that's the word on the street. He's kind of limping back to the studio. No, I mean, like, I think that you were spot on, though. You said – because the question was asked, which one would be a bigger victory? Is it Georgia going on the road beat number one? Or is it Georgia Tech beating Brent Key? And the feeling is this could be a signature victory, much in the way we thought week one was against Florida State before we knew what Florida State was. It's like now we have a little bit bigger sample size out of Notre Dame. Hopefully they can try to pull this one off.
Also, shout out to Georgia State. They are playing tonight against Marshall. So I believe that's the Thursday night football game on ESPN.
I think you're
so
right.
I will,
speaking of
to
victories.
Watch two screens tonight when I'm watching Thursday night football and watching the Panthers.
Yeah. Speaking of victories looking a lot better, how good does their victory look over Vanderbilt right now after beating Kentucky and Bama?
It looks real good right now. Like, what was that whole meme thing going around?
I try to tell Bama fans, like, can't lose Vanderbilt. I'm like, Georgia State beat them, yes, but Vandy is a solid football team, like very good football team. So that's looking better and better.
It's just a matter of time, I think, before Del McGee and them get really rolling, and I'm excited to see what the future is.
It's weird because I look at Del McGee. I've met him a few times in his time as a recruiter at Georgia, and I look at him and I'm like, dude, I hope he just settles in there. Like, I hope, like, and I know that, you know, as coaches, you're always kind of looking next big thing, this, that, and the other. Like, I hope he just settles in. Like,
and he talked about that, right? Yes. And like, you're in Atlanta. Like,
he likes it
there. This is a great, obviously, recruiting region.
It seems like a match made in heaven.
So,
take it the distance, baby.
All right, let's go way out west to a state that I've been shipped off to multiple times, to Oregon. If you recall, Coach Dan Lanning for the Ducks, he intentionally used 12 men on defense against the Buckeyes to help run time off the clock as they closed out the final seconds of their 32-31 win against Ohio State. So he openly admitted it and talked about it. And now the NCAA is closing the loophole that Oregon used to shave off time off that clock. So in a release on Wednesday, the NCAA issued a new rules interpretation on how to handle a penalty for 12 players on the field in the final 2 minutes of either half. If the defense has 12 players actively participate in the down, the offense can choose, along with the 5-yard penalty, to have the game clock reset to the time that had been displayed at snap. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Does that make sense? It does. It's kind of, and I don't remember all the specifics. Maybe one of y'all will. Do you remember when Bill Belichick did something like this a while back? I think he had like his punt team on the field. Maybe they were like doing, it's like, false start after false start, and it didn't, like, wasn't resetting anything, and they just kept running time off the clock, and the NFL immediately was like, oh, crap. Like, this ain't good. Close the loophole.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if Lanning hadn't, like, I mean, they probably would have recognized what he was trying to do anyway, right? Because everyone was talking about it. Everybody saw it on the internet. But do you think the fact that he came out and was like, yeah, we did it? He didn't say it that brazen.
Yeah, he didn't puff his chest out. This was just a situation we practiced.
yeah, but I don't know. Just openly, like, I would have been like, oh, I don't know. It was a mistake.
I don't know. There's a part of you, though, that you're like, I definitely outsmarted the system. I would like a little credit for this.
I don't know. That's fair.
I don't know. But no, I'm with you. I don't know if they had to do it immediately, though. It's funny because we'll get to the offseason. We'll take a look at, nah, man, like, we can't have this deciding games between Ohio State and Oregon. We can't have that, especially after what the last play was for Ohio State. So I'm sure that they were under a little pressure. Got it closed up. Won't see it no more. But hat tip to Dan Lanning for even noticing that. I mean, that's right? It's pretty clutch.
They play tomorrow. They're the second-ranked team in the land. They play at Purdue.
Big Friday night slate. Yeah, Florida State and Duke. BYU plays somebody else. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then obviously they're playing. It's a nice little decent Friday night slate. If you're not heading to a high school football game, you can settle into the couch a little bit.
You can. And I will be on the road this weekend. I've got Wake Forest at UConn. That's on CBS Sports Network. So just plugging myself, you know. But I'll see you guys next week.
Where the GPAs are higher than the points per game.
All right, we come back here. When we come back here on the morning shift, let's get you, we'll hit a reset button and get you set for the Falcons and Seahawks. That's next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.